Welcome to Rebecca Neal, the podcast. This is Rebecca Neal, your host, and this podcast has been created as a beautiful, safe space to share insights to help you improve your daily life through nutrition and health, to help you succeed in business, and to have thought-provoking conversations with industry leaders and experts in their field so that we can become more conscious and more mindful with the way that we live our daily lives.
So not that they're bad, but they're not doing it because they don't care. They're just doing it because they don't know. And that's quite often what it is. So you'll say, mention something to someone and they'll look at you like, oh, really? And there is that like immediate, like when you challenge something that someone does, there is the immediate, like you can see that it causes tension in them. But if you do it, you know, genuinely and just with information and no judgment, which is what we try to do through Pleasant Stay as well, eventually you can slowly make change, I think.
And that was Sian, co-founder of Pleasant State, and this is Rebecca Neal, the podcast. Hey, beautiful people, welcome back to another guest interview episode. I've been hanging to do these. It's been a little while in between, and I know that you guys love these guest interviews. So I hope you're well from wherever you're joining me right now around the world. It's an absolute pleasure to be in your ears again. And for those who are joining for the first time, welcome. I'm so grateful to have you in my space. I'm Rebecca Neal, health and nutrition expert, business mentor to hundreds of women around the world, and your host for today's show. Today's a really awesome episode because it's touching on things that I personally am very passionate about, and I'm excited to bring you these two beautiful women to you, Sian and Amy. They're from the sunny coast in Queensland, not far from me, sharing with us their journey of how it began, you know, the incredible products that they've created with purpose and impact, and what it's been like to get to where they are today. Sian and Amy are the co-founders of Pleasant State, a Queensland-based business that's helping forward-thinking Australians reduce their use of single-use plastics and toxic chemicals with their revolutionary Just Add Water cleaning products. And after running a successful crowdfunding campaign in 2020, Pleasant State launched its online store just a few months ago, and the response to date has been amazing. On a mission to prove that doing good is good for business, Sian and Amy are working hard to change the way business is done by balancing people, planet, and profits. With Sian's background in marketing and Amy's MBA and a long history in big business, the pair have combined to create a strong brand that aims to change the way people clean their homes for good. I'm really excited to have you here and have them jump on. You may find today's episode both inspiring and interesting as we dive into it all. So let's get started, and I'll catch you on the other side. So welcome to the show, ladies.
Hello, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks, Rebecca.
It's really exciting. So I'm going to ask you my first question, which is a little off topic, but I want to know how you both spend your first hour of the day. I think as business owners, entrepreneurs, mums, whatever you are titled as, we spend our morning doing things very differently to each other, but also I believe success leaves clues. So can you guys share what it is that you get up to in the first hour of your day?
Yeah, well, I think we're pretty lucky up here, being on the Sunshine Coast. The sun rises very early, which as a past Melburnian means that I now rise very early. So my first hour is normally wake up whenever the sun does. I'll either go for a surf if there's waves or for a walk with my housemates, grab a coffee, and then, yeah, off to work.
And hi, Amy here. It depends if it's a good or a not so good week. So good weeks, when I'm really looking after myself, it starts with not looking at my phone. And like Sian, I get up early and either do some exercise at the gym or go for a walk, because we're very lucky to have the beach. I also dedicate time to meditate as well, to get myself in a good state, a pleasant state for when I arrive in the office. The less good weeks will often involve me grabbing my phone and looking at my emails and sales, and then being a little bit stressed for the office. So I've got a big focus at the moment of investing more in good weeks and good practices.
I think that's so important how you start your day, in a sense of not grabbing the phone. And it's so easy to do sometimes, especially when you're waiting on something or, you know, there's some tension around orders or sales coming in the door. And so it's having that real mindfulness around how we actually actively spend the day. And I love the sun rising, and I'm in Brisbane at the moment and I'm not loving it. I'm really missing the coast and I'm missing those early mornings and getting down and watching the sunrise for sure. So hopefully I'm moving back there in the next little bit, because it is, it's really important, like you said, to try and be conscious of that, so you're not sort of going into your day being reactive, rather being responsive to what's going on.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and the particularly having an online store, you can just get these constant endorphin rushes by opening the Shopify app and checking, oh, what did we do overnight? But yeah, it's not, it's really not a great way to start the day.
So addictive.
Yeah, it's just another thing, like Instagram and Facebook and all the likes and notifications, I can imagine.
Yeah.
Definitely. But yes, it's much better if we both get up and praise the sun a little bit in the morning and the ocean.
Definitely. So you did mention spending in a pleasant state. So I want to ask you, where did this all begin? Like, who are you both? Did you guys know each other for a long time before you connected? Are you related? I want to know all the things and share the juicy goodies with the audience today.
Oh, we get that question about being related.
People thought we're sisters before. It's so good.
All good friends. But actually, no, Sean and I only met February last year.
Oh, wow.
So
that's cool.
It's a very new relationship and a very new business. So, yes, myself around late November, it was at 2019, when we had all the bushfires up on the Sunshine Coast, I was feeling very despondent about the state of the world and became aware of Just Add Water cleaning solutions. So the idea that you could just have the concentrated or active ingredients for your cleaning products, drop it into water, and that would make a multi-purpose or a bathroom or a glass cleaner. The fact that those products are made of 97% plus water meant, like, yeah, it was a bit of a no-brainer. Why are we shipping around all this water? Why are we throwing out a plastic bottle at the end of the day? So I just thought, wow, I want this product. I'd like to make one that's Australian made and toxic free as well, because reducing toxins in my personal life is very important. So I thought, great, I'm going to go make this. It didn't exist in Australia or New Zealand. But in addition to obviously making the product, which was not an insignificant challenge, the other one was finding someone who could create a really amazing brand that really resonated with people, that people really connected with, and that I guess was almost greater than the actual product. So I had an idea in mind about how I wanted that to look, but I definitely did not know how to bring that to life. So I put it out into the universe that I needed someone amazing to do that, and I hoped that that person had a lot of the values and I guess characteristics that I wanted that brand to have. So optimistic, happy, accessible, fun. And yeah, the universe provided Sean. And
here I am.
I love that. It's so interesting how the universe works when you like literally ask a question. You're like, give me that thing. Give me that person. That's amazing. And so Sean, where did you fit? Like, what were you up to when Amy sort of was seeking you out in the universe?
I was like, this sounds bad, but I feel like I was kind of just floating around. I was just existing at that point. Like, I had moved about a year earlier from Melbourne up to the Sunshine Coast. I hadn't planned to. My partner and I sold all our belongings, bought a van, decked out the inside, and we're like, we're going to live on the road and be nomads for 2 years. Look at us go. And we got 3 months in and reached Noosa, and I was just getting a bit restless. Every time I try and become like a nomad and go backpacking around the world or wherever, I get to the 3 month point and I just get restless and I have to do something. So we stopped, and I was doing some freelance marketing and marketing at a marketing for a brewery up here, and just kind of just figuring out what I wanted to do, but knowing that I wanted it to be up here because I was just in love with the place. And luckily, yeah, someone that I'd met while like when I moved to the Sunshine Coast introduced me to Amy at a cafe, and it just like snowballed from there. I don't think I ever stopped to think like do I want to do this? It was just straight away, 100%, and off we went, and I didn't look back. So, that's how it kind of started for me.
It's such a natural flow, which is really beautiful.
It really was. It was so bizarre. I actually said this to Amy once, the night before Amy and I met, and it probably was because I knew about it. I put this post up on my Instagram being like, I'm ready. I'm ready for like my next direction in life, and I'm ready to actually sink my teeth into something. And then the next morning Amy and I met, and then Pleasant State was born. So the timing was definitely right. It was perfect, I think.
I love that.
I thought that message was a sign to me. It's like, oh yeah, she's ready. Because I only became a crush on when a mutual friend introduced us. And I could look at her personal profile on Instagram. Hers is public, mine is very private. But her personal brand I thought was really amazing. Yeah, the fact, you know, I think she just does herself a disservice saying she was floating, but you know, for a year, Sian had embarked on a makeup-free phase of her life, and she'd been living quite simply and very concerned about the environment. But her personal brand was very strong. So I was already immediately quite attracted to Sian's personal brand. And then, yeah, when I met her in person, I think I walked away. I'm like, oh, I have a crush. She's so tall.
You've never said that before.
I was like, I already had a mini crush from her personal profile. Then I had like full crush. But honeymoon period is definitely over.
I love that. Now I'm just like her annoying sister.
I love that so much. But it's such a natural thing, though, when it's meant to be, like that real nice connection and flow. I really love that story. And so Pleasant State, where did that come from? What was the name sort of linked to?
We struggled a lot with the name to begin with. So internally in our team, so Sian, myself, and Sasha and Renil, who were key members of our team, we all kept coming up with names, but you know, it's difficult to find ones that you'll be able to trademark, that all the social handles exist for, that the domains exist for, and that's quite different and unique. So I think at one point we just all agreed that perhaps that wasn't our forte, and we were in the process of trying to find a branding agency to help us bring, you know, that identity to life. And so we asked them if they would be interested in coming up with a name as well. You can probably explain the process that we went through. So there was an exercise that we did. It's quite unique.
Yes, there was. Like, they gave us some, like, the branding agency gave us some questionnaires, and it was things like, if, you know, the brand was a celebrity, who would it be? What's favorite color, favorite shape, like all those kind of things. And that was really fun. And then some of like the values and what we were trying to convey as well. And in the end, they presented us like a whole range of different name options, but each one had a story with it. And I think straight away, we all agreed on Pleasant State, because in this like kind of story behind it, it was talking about like the present state and how we're working towards a more pleasant state, in terms of like our health, but also the environment as well. So I think that really resonated with, well, that was like what I loved about it so much. And then also I really liked that Pleasant State. You can use that
the postscript.
Yeah, the PS. So, you know, and that's a kind of showing of, you know, PS, there's more to come. So, yeah, I think straight away we all agreed that that was the name for us, and which was convenient. I didn't have to go through the others. It was like we were all really aligned with that one. But, yeah, we get asked about the name a fair bit because I can see how it would be a bit left of centre, but that kind of story just aligned with all of us, I think, really well.
And then the dot com was available. We could trademark it, the social handle. So, yeah, it was also quite lucky. I guess it was meant to be.
Yeah.
It all sounds like it's been meant to be to that point, so it's amazing. And, Pleasant State is a really beautiful, like, it has such a nice energy about it, a nice feel, and you know, you do want it to be in a pleasant state, you know, the way the world is meant to be in some sense, so it fits so perfectly. Yeah, so have you guys always, sorry, go.
No, that's fine. No, all good. I was just agreeing with you, admiring our own name.
I love the branding. I'm all about branding, and it's so simplistic and so beautiful and so soft. And so, like, it really is. You guys have done an incredible job. It's very attractive to the eye.
Thank you. We're very lucky to have an awesome branding agency as well that kind of helped guide us in the right direction as well. Because I think I have a tendency to throw way too much into creative things. So it's just it's not that simple. So I think pulling it back with their help was great. Mm. And now we're, definitely really happy with it.
That's awesome. Yeah, cool. Were they based on the Sunny Coast?
They're Melbourne based, which was also a strategic decision because we already knew that a majority of our customers were going to come out of Melbourne. So we'd done a significant and in-depth market research exercise to understand, okay, does a problem really exist? Is the solution that we're going to come up with going to solve that problem? Does it resonate with people and are they going to pay for it? And who exactly is the customer? And so knowing that 40% were going to come from Melbourne, we thought, well, a Melbourne aesthetic as well as one that would be quite international, would be important for us. They also had a good following in Melbourne. So, again, you know, trying to leverage their audience. But having said that, actually, I think they almost picked us because we actually couldn't afford them, but they really believed in our mission and came back to us offering, I can't give too much away, but they did a significant amount of their work at risk depending on how we went with our crowdfunding. So we're, just super blessed to have been able to work with them.
That's amazing. And so has it, I'd love to dive into that quickly, the market research, it's something I definitely work on with my clients. Has that turned out to be exactly what you thought it would be when looking at that and projecting the market research and the location and the target audience?
That's an interesting question because what happens if we know that 40% or we believe 40% are in Melbourne, well, then you execute your marketing strategy in line with that. So we would, our audience and we target Facebook ads are predominantly Melbourne. But having said that, largely yes. And the reason being Renil Illesinger, who's one of our shareholders, he's an executive in customer insights for an ASX 100 company. So the market research process we went through is, I get quite textbook. So we did qualitative research where we spoke with 8 independent Australians who were already environmentally leaning about, you know, their life and how they clean and products they use and what they look for, and tried to understand from them whether this particular Just Add Water solution would be appealing. So then took that and did quantitative, so surveys and stuff. So we kind of went through a really methodical approach, and then we were able to look at the Roy Morgan Helix personas, which is Roy Morgan does a national survey, and they have segmented Australians into all these different, I guess, categories. So we had a really good idea from our own research what those segments were and, you know, what those people read, what they consumed content-wise, what their interests were. And then Sean and the team did a lot of work to target messaging to those particular segments. So, yes, I guess it is what we expected because the process that we've gone through is extremely rigorous.
Yeah, that's amazing. And that's what you want to do. Like, you want to direct you've got to kind of niche down, as I would say. You may use a different term, but it's, you want to be marketing to a particular person because then people are listening. You know, it sets off that reticular activating system in the brain and people are like, oh, this is for me. And that's amazing that you guys knew that and were able to market down there. I think being on the East Coast, there's so much of us that are always looking for this sort of stuff. I hadn't really thought about what it would be like in the bigger cities like Melbourne and Sydney. So it's really cool that that's where you guys have been targeting in particular.
Yeah, I think we're lucky too because Amy and I are both originally from Melbourne as well. So I think we were probably more naturally drawn to that kind of messaging as well. It's very aligned with us too. But yeah.
So tell me what, with the plastic reduction, like where does that passion come from? Is there like, do you both have a background in, you know, understanding the toxins of the world or the environmental issues, or was it something that prompted you guys to go on this journey, or was it from childhood? I'd love to know a little bit more about where that passion sort of started.
Yeah, so I grew up on a hobby farm at one point in my life. And so from a young age, already understood the ramifications of droughts and fires. So I was exposed to both. We were on tank water. And if it didn't rain, we didn't have water. We'd have to share baths. We'd use bath water to flush the toilet and also to garden. You water the garden. And then at the same time, I lived in St. Andrews, which is near King Lake, where we had the really significant bushfires. And so every summer, just really concerned about there being potentially a fire and having, you know, what we do with our horses, for example. So I was always really conscious of it from a very young age, and that's always stayed with me. That kind of developed into a passion for sustainability more broadly, so looking across environmental, social and governance. And that led me kind of into working in big business across sustainability. However, I just felt I witnessed a lot of greenwashing, unfortunately, in big business. So when budgets were good, they'd invest in sustainability because it was a good PR story or a good marketing story. But the moment budgets were tight, the sustainability budgets got cut. And so, yeah, just at one point I realized, okay, well, if I would like to build a business, I've always been entrepreneurial. I'd love to obviously build a business that I'm passionate about, that has a purpose, but also that's really underpinned by ethics and transparency, and that makes decisions, everyday decisions that we make are driven by an ethical decision-making framework. Plastics is obviously one extremely important issue. There's so many issues, though. At some point as an individual, you've got to pick one. And so I'd personally been eradicating plastics and toxins from my own life because I'd suffered from gut issues and I'd been having migraines for about 18 months. And part of the way of healing was to, yeah, plastics are quite important in that healing process. Even I changed my mattress. I had to change my pillow. The clothes that I wore, my cookware, all have some element of plastic in them. So I was eradicating that. And also chemicals. A lot of our chemicals have artificial fragrances or SLSs, SLEs. So I'd eradicated that. So when I came across Just Add Water cleaning solutions, I thought, okay, well, I can remove plastic and find a solution that has zero toxins. That would be perfect. So it kind of combined a whole lot of things. It's fairly nuanced. It's not that, obviously not that simple, but oh, there you go. There's my life story.
I love that. And Sean, did you have any sort of story behind the environment and caring about that sort of thing? I can imagine you did as well to some degree.
Yeah, I grew up in like suburbia Melbourne, so I remember not really thinking until like my early 20s, not really thinking about the environment that much or the plastic issue. Like I was obviously taught not to litter, but when I go back and think about the things that I would just mindlessly consume, like it makes me shudder a bit. But I just think as, you know, more and more awareness for climate change, you know, or more news in the media, as I learned more and more, I just started getting this like increasingly internal, like, I don't know, I guess distress or unrest, and that feeling of what can I do to help this situation? Like in my view, it was just me. All I had was like a social media channel or the people around me to influence or, you know, protest or things like that. So I was trying to find something that I could do that would have an impact and actually felt like I had an impact. And I think one of the struggles I was having is that I didn't really feel like much of what I was doing was making a difference or that I could. So when Amy came to me with this, I was the same as Amy. I knew I always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I had no idea what I wanted to do. And I just wanted it to be something that made the world a better place in some way. So when Amy introduced this concept to me, I was straight away just like 100%, that's a no-brainer, this is perfect. But then throughout that, like I have learned so much. Like the straight away, I was like, the plastic issue had already aligned with me, was already something I was concerned with. But just the research in those initial months into how bad the problem is, and how much we need to change. And once you start actually realizing how much plastic we produce and how much is actually recycled, like we need to make huge changes. And so it was awesome that we could do that with Pleasant State. And then I had never even thought about the chemicals in the products I was consuming before. So Amy kind of educated me a lot with that, and obviously with the research that I've done into those chemicals, so we can then help our community learn about it as well, has been so eye-opening. And now it's 100% something I'm passionate about too. So it's it's taught me a lot as well, which has been really good, which means now I'm teaching everyone around me through Pleasant State, but also in my personal life. I'm
knowing everyone.
Everyone.
I love that. I actually just went back to finish my degree in dietetics and nutrition, and I said to my partner when I was about to do it, I said, what is the one thing I'm so passionate about? And he goes, well, annoyingly, it's health and nutrition. Like, you know, when you're really passionate about something, you just want to tell everybody, right? And share it with everybody around you.
Well, yeah, because you see people like do things, and then I don't think they're not doing it to like be bad. Well, not that they're bad, but they're not doing it because they don't care. They're just doing it because they don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's quite often what it is. So you'll mention something to someone and they'll look at you like, oh, really? And there is that like immediate, like when you challenge something that someone does, there is the immediate, like you can see that it causes tension in them. But if you do it, you know, genuinely and just with information and no judgment, which is what we try to do through Pleasant State as well. Eventually you can slowly make change, I think. But yes, it is when you're so passionate about something, it is hard not to just stand at the top of a hill and scream.
I take a slightly different approach in that though, which is, yes, education's important, but as individual, there's only so much we can do and care about.
Totally.
The risk is if you care about too many things, you do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And our view is also that it's the plastic issue is not a consumer issue. It's actually a business and a production issue. So it's that companies are making plastic, single-use plastics. They're choosing to use that in their packaging for single-use purposes. And then a consumer has no option except for to purchase that. So if you walk into a supermarket to the cleaning aisle, with the exception of a few options now, what you're presented with is a toxic cleaning product in a plastic throwaway bottle. And that's what you've always done. So, you know, I think everyone is trying to make an impact and make a difference in the world, and they've probably picked their own issues. I think it's time for business to step up to the plate now and make the fundamental changes that we require.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point there, because I definitely was always more concerned about plastic, I guess, from a point of what it does to your health and like making sure you don't, you know, heat things in plastic or, you know, using glass and all that sort of stuff. And then it actually wasn't until, and I don't use a lot of cleaning products, to be honest, and I have a cleaner that uses natural products, but I'd never really thought about the packaging and the way it is and how you're just throwing this bottle away all the time until you guys popped up into my world. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is like, it would blew my mind, even though I feel I'm quite self-aware around topics like this. And I'd never really considered that. But when you say that and you look in the aisle in the supermarket, there is very limited options and people are using spray and wipes and whatever they're using quite regularly. So there's always there's mass amounts of those bottles and they're not breaking down, right? Plastic doesn't break down. So it's an incredible product what you've created. I think it's amazing and it really is changing the way. And hopefully there are other businesses that do start to consider their packaging and what they're doing as well to give people that next option.
Yeah, definitely. And that's something quite interesting about Sean and I actually. I come from the end where I think you work within business and industry to make change. And Sean's come from the activist angle. And so that's quite an interesting mix, actually. Another example of how different we are.
Good combination.
It's really important, actually. I personally haven't participated in too much activism. Definitely I think the big companies have to do a lot, and I've been hoping to influence that. But that activism piece is also important, and the two together are critical.
For sure. So has there been, I can imagine there has been, but has there been some tougher times along this journey? How long have you been in business, and what are the lessons, I guess, that you can share with us that you've learned along the way?
We incorporated Pleasant State, or we have another trading, Pleasant State's the trading name, and we incorporated in Feb last year. So haven't been going for too long. We launched our brand in June last year, and then we ran a crowdfunding campaign and literally only started shipping our products in March of this year. So definitely haven't been out there for very long. So we did this all very quickly, and we were quite purist in our approach. We wanted to make our own bars, and they had to have no nasties, and they had to be made in Australia. And not only that, we also wanted to make a really beautiful custom glass and silicone bottle. It had to be different to anything else out there, because off the shelf just wasn't, wasn't good enough in our eyes. But that probably is one of the things that causes us the most grief are those bottles, actually. Now, the reason being, and a good friend of mine that I did my MBA with, his advice was actually to get something off the shelf, but I ignored him. The issue with making your own custom bottle is you have extremely high minimum order quantities. And so we were lucky to find a broker who, you know, could source a factory in China that would do 15,000 units. But 15,000 units is still a lot of bottles, particularly when you're a bootstrapped, crowdfunded startup. So for us, that was a really big gamble. And what that means is, you know, that presents risks in terms of cash flow, also quality. You know, if you've got a particular issue and you get 15,000 units, we had a few issues. But also just extremely stressful, because every time we have to buy new bottles, which we've already had to do, that minimum order quantity, it increases over time. So it's double this time, which was non-negotiable. But it's a significant amount of money. So it causes me personally a lot of stress, and probably then that flows onto Sian, because I'm like, keep delivering results just because we have to pay for all of these bottles that we're not going to sell for a long time. So my bit of advice would be, try to find solutions where you can keep your minimum order quantities quite low, and you have shorter lead times on it. And again, off the shelf with some customization, because I think it would be possible for us to achieve something off the shelf customized and have a similar look and feel. We'll also keep your unit costs lower as well.
Amazing. And Sian, did you have anything to add there? Would you say you've learned any lessons along the way?
Oh, so many lessons. We were joking the other day about how starting a business is literally a roller coaster. Like, one day you'll be so high, like so happy and ecstatic, and then literally 4 hours later you'll be like, what just happened? And just kind of like managing that. But I'd say my biggest, like what I found most difficult is probably just how much I personally have had to learn throughout this whole process. It has been a lot to take on, and to take on it without resisting as well, because, you know, I don't like feeling like I don't know what I'm doing. But like, that happens in business, and you have to kind of come to terms with that and accept it and take on feedback. And I found that quite hard, and also just letting go of my pride in some situations. But I've had to learn, I think everyone has, but definitely myself as well, so much throughout this experience, and just letting myself be okay with not knowing sometimes has been a big thing. So I think I'm getting better at it now. I still definitely resist sometimes. If I don't know something, I don't want to go there. But we have to, and if we're going to try and do things differently, we have to kind of push ourselves to go places we haven't been before, or most people haven't been before. So that's been hard, but I'm pretty proud of how I'm going and how we're going, because, yeah, I think kind of the results to date have shown that it works.
Yeah, so it's so important. And with business, I always say it's the greatest personal development journey that you will ever go on. And, you know, it is, it's really showing, you're really growing yourself whilst growing a business, because like you said, you've got to, you know, drop the pride and really look at what your reaction and response to different things as well. Yeah. And so I hear that you're saying you probably would do that differently. Amy saying that you would probably go with off the shelf bottles and things like that to keep the cost down. Is if someone is looking for, you know, to get crowdfunding like you guys did or looking to launch their product online, is there one piece of advice that you would have to give to those people?
I think we touched on it earlier. Definitely don't skip on the market research and just making sure you understand, the landscape and your customer before launching. I think it definitely helped us, but also we used our crowdfunding as another form of market research as well. We were using it to kind of test the landscape and just to make sure that before we went and really invested everything into this, that we knew that there was a demand for it and that we knew we'd gotten the messaging and the branding and the product right. So I would just say, make sure you're ready, do your research beforehand. And another huge kind of learning for us was just make sure you've built that community of those people that you've researched, those like-minded people, before you launch the crowdfunding. We set ourselves a 10,000 database signups goal. That's what we wanted to reach before we launched. We didn't get there. I think we were about 3 or 4.
Yeah, about 4.
4,000. And then we were like, let's just go anyway. And that just meant we had to work so much harder throughout the campaign, which was fine. We did it. But if I could do it again, I would wait until we had that 10,000, because those subscriptions were our biggest conversions into crowdfunding support. So that would be another big piece of advice.
I love that. Did you want to add? Yeah,
just crowdfunding is not easy. Like, don't enter it lightly. When Sean made it seem simplified in that we had an extremely clear campaign strategy that ran for months and months in the lead up to our crowdfunding. So it's not just a 6-week campaign. Mm. It's probably a 6-month campaign. And you have to do a whole lot of things in advance to build that hype and build your brand and build that database. It's also not a cheap exercise. So you can't go into it thinking that you're just going to make money then to support your business. You actually have to invest in that campaign. And for us, you know, we would have broken even or just probably a little bit of surplus. And when I say that, it meant that the investment that we made covered the cost of our marketing expenses, advertising expenses, and the cost of the goods sold, but just. So it's not a windfall. And I think there was some stat, only 17% of crowdfunding campaigns are ever successful. Wow. And I think we as a team, like we even really struggled after the first few days, but we knew for us, if we didn't pass that hurdle, that was the end of our business. So we hustled very hard.
There's a big drive behind what you're doing, I think, on so many levels from, you know, even just having this conversation with you. There's, you know, the drive to create impact and change, the passion you have. And I think that's a really big, important part of business. And you guys definitely have that there. And so as business owners, I know you guys touched on it a little bit earlier in the show where we were talking about your morning routine. I believe, and you may agree or not, that, you know, taking care of your well-being, or I always say fitting your mask first before you go out into the world to serve and, you know, be your best self. How do you guys make sure that, I'm guessing that well-being is important. How do you make time for this? You know, do you, because it sounds like you're busy. It sounds like you've got a lot of stuff going on. There's the ups and downs and the roller coaster ride. Do you guys make time daily for yourself and your well-being or doing certain activities?
Yeah, it's like, yes, definitely very important to us. And it's something that I think we're still like, well, I personally feel like finding that sweet spot. Like we tend to go through stages of, you know, working really hard, maybe like burning out a little bit and then stopping and being like, okay, no, we need to go back to incorporating more of that time for ourselves and wellness. And so it's definitely important to us and it's definitely something we focus on. I have always been like a huge advocate for like focusing on myself first and then everything else around me will be better. But sometimes it can just be so hard to get caught up in it and that drive to, you know, you have to grow quickly and everything has to be streamlined. And so we sometimes, I'm going to be honest, I think, yeah, get a bit caught up in that. And then we need to kind of, we pause and we reassess, and then we go back to focusing on ourselves a bit more. But just recently in the last few weeks, Amy and I have been, I think, yeah, looking at how we can better long-term balance the two, because they're really important to us. But it's just something, you know, every day is different. So you're always learning. You're always trying to figure it out.
Yeah, and I think it is really hard as a business owner to find that sweet spot and sustain it all the time, because the truth is building a business is hard, and particularly one like ours where we wanted to get to market so quickly. Yet we do have high costs when it comes to bottles, so there's this constant concern about cash flow. But Shan's right, if you don't focus on yourself, it's really hard to manage that pressure and that speed, and often we put it on ourselves. And there's actually a lot of expectation out there as well that, yeah, we have to be this, you know, you want to be a unicorn and you're only successful if you're one of these amazing startups. So we're trying to like let go of that notion and slow down a little bit. Shan touched a little bit on burnout. I think I reached that the other week. We were working to a really big milestone, which didn't quite come off. I think I'd been running for so long on adrenaline and just knew I had to get to that point. And then when we got there and it didn't work out, had a bit of a burnout. In fact, I'd been planning how I was going to escape society and go live in a mini house somewhere off the grid.
I've been doing that too.
And I was like crying often, which is very rare for me. And then I looked up all the signs of burnout and realized I'd clearly burnt out, because they're all signs, like dreams of escaping. But it just came back. You go back to fundamentals, which I've been doing. So exercise, go for walks outside, be in nature, meditate, sleep well, eat well. Like, I don't know why and breathe. That's a really important one. You just got to keep the basics up and not forget about them. And yeah, definitely slow down. Like, this is not a sprint. It is a massive marathon, and we're always, particularly me, trying to race somewhere and forgetting to enjoy the journey. So I have Shan here. I keep reminding her to remind me to slow down. I think she's a little bit addicted to the speed sometimes, even though she wants to go slow.
Yeah. Because you feel, that's the other thing with it though. Sometimes you don't want to say slow down because you feel like it might be perceived as, you know, laziness or something like that too. So it's just kind of changing like the conversation around it as well. Like when we first started, we went to a lot of, I don't know, there are a lot of talks, a lot of speeches, a lot of things like that. And there was this, in the startup world, there's this like notion that if you want to do well, you have to work crazy hours and you have to accept that you won't have a life. And it's the only way to do it. And we had all these people of authority like giving us this information, and it's like, and that was massive clash for me. I'm like, oh no, this is not aligned with my values at all. I don't know how I'm going to survive this. So it's like this battle of, you know, that's what everyone expects from us. I don't want it to seem like I'm not working hard enough, but I just won't survive otherwise. But we're starting to understand it. It's just sometimes the pressure to prove yourself as well can distract you a bit. But no, but at the moment we're both definitely, like I had a nice yoga morning this morning just because I needed a little refresh. So we're definitely incorporating it more.
And I think it's not even about balance, it's more about finding that harmony. And I heard someone with the analogy once about a DJ set and how there's all those little pieces, and it's not about them being all in line. It's about finding that harmony between all of them. And so sometimes it might be that you're working extreme hours, but it's then rebalancing or reharmonizing and doing, like you said, that yoga session this morning and just reconnecting, because there's going to be those times where you have to work hard or you have to get something out the door. But then when you do have that moment, coming back to those, you know, those everyday things of eating better and exercising and moving, and those things reset you to be more inspired anyway. And so it's, you know, it doesn't make sense that we forget those things sometimes, but it's so easy to get caught up in it. And then being kind to yourself when you do, right? And knowing that it's okay that you do sometimes get into that burnout phase, and then taking the steps out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have your best ideas when you pull back a little bit and reset as well.
For sure. So tell us, what does the future hold for Pleasant State? I want to know where you guys are going from here.
It's a really good one.
That's a million-dollar question.
You never really do know, do you? Well, in the next 12 months, we're looking to introduce more Just Add Water cleaning and personal care solutions. So you may have noticed we just have launched our hand wash tester campaign. So we're asking 100 Australians and New Zealanders to put their hand up to test our amazing foaming hand wash. That also is aligned with a push into New Zealand. So we haven't communicated that extensively yet, but we are open to New Zealand now and offer the same free shipping for orders over $50 Australian. So I guess that marks an official expansion overseas. And yeah, we've got some other really great products in the pipeline, as well as hopes to expand more broadly internationally next year as well. Again, assuming we can maintain our slower pace of life and do it as well without burnout.
Yes, that's awesome. There really is endless options of what you can create with what you're doing because, and like I said, I've not really thought about it, but then when you start thinking about it, there's like hand sanitizer, there's hand like wash, there's body wash, like all of those things. Mm-hmm. I often think about the bottles they come in now because I've been conscious of, we do red cycling, we do, you know, we try and minimize what we do. We go to the farmer's markets, we don't use all the, you know, plastics and those sorts of things. But it wasn't until you guys appeared in my world that I was like, oh, wow, this is really like a big deal. So it's amazing what you guys are doing.
Thank you.
It's really, really cool. And going into New Zealand is going to be amazing. And so it's really exciting times. So I'd love to know, it's a bit of a random question. Are you guys into reading or listening to audios? And if so, what are you reading at the moment?
Well, I was going to just see which
time.
Amy was going to say.
I'm not going to take
yours. Okay, good, because... So I actually love reading, but just hadn't read in years. And throughout this whole process, I was having a few sleepless nights because I just couldn't switch off. So it's been over the last couple of months, something I've been doing is like just reading a chapter before I go to bed each night, and it's helped me so much. But the book I'm reading at the moment, and this is probably why it's helped too, is, well, I've just finished it actually, it's called This One, A Wild and Precious Life by Sarah Wilson. And it kind of, you know, it starts off by focusing on the state of the planet now and the climate emergency and how we've kind of lost our way. And I was reading this book, I was like, oh God, this is grim. This is making me more anxious. But then it kind of, it just turns into like Sarah's providing all these amazing ideas and suggestions and research on what you can do to kind of bring it back to your why, which is something we did with Pleasant State as well. And it just, I found it so inspiring to just take control in any way I can and start making changes in my life for the better and just see the world in a different light. So that's the book I've just finished, and I've given it to Amy to read, and I highly recommend it, particularly now with everything going on. It's kind of like a nice calming but also guiding light at the moment in what seems like a bit of a heavy world.
It is energetically so heavy right now. It's crazy times. So what was the name of the book again?
This One Wild and Precious Life.
Beautiful. And Sarah Wilson.
Yes.
Amazing. So is there anything, did you want to share, Amy, on that as well?
Well, yes, because I also started reading it. A big focus in getting back into nature, right, and hiking, because we've lost touch with nature. And then if you don't have a concern for nature, then you don't understand what we're losing as a result of our climate emergency and the impact we're having on the planet. So if you're in touch, you realize we really do need to protect it. And a really big focus on slow and, you know, challenging consumerism and capitalist society, which in the same vein, I actually started it a while ago. It's called In Praise of Slow. His name is Carl Honor. And yeah, it's just really challenging the cult of speed. And this, I think we became, this need to be fast and productive and busy all the time. It all came around the Industrial Revolution and feeds into capitalism and I think overconsumption as well. And then just, yeah, not really being focused or present in anything that we do, even music. The last chapter I read was on classical music and how even classical music now has been sped up. And actually, a lot of their composers wrote it to be much slower. And so a focus on slow eating and slow exercise. I really liked that one. Actually, it was basically there's this movement where they just do weights for like maybe max 40 minutes one time a week.
Wow.
That's amazing.
Wow, that sounds like my class.
I'm not convinced entirely, but like I often just do twice a week at the gym and I'm getting good results. But yes, slowing down, and I think that's really important actually when it comes to my personal life and business and consumption.
For sure. I think you're so right though, and even with sharing the classical music being sped up, everything is so fast. You know, everything we've got like that goldfish memory. We're like constantly seeing things flash in front of us on social. Like it is a really fast-paced life, and we've really got to be proactive in slowing ourselves down. So I'm going to check out that book as well. So do you have anything else that you'd love to leave us with today? It's been so amazing to hear your journey so far. But is there anything else you wanted to leave the audience with?
Well, I told you, like, I also read a lot of trashy novels. But I can never remember their names, and I use that to escape. I just love these podcasts. Everyone shares, like, all the really glamorous, like, I'm so intellectual, but I probably read 5 trashy novels, maybe 10 to the one intellectual one. And it just so happens last night I was reading the intellectual one. What would it be that I think women, not that I'm like in the women camp, to be honest, like I think all people can play a role, but what I'm experiencing lately in my networks is it's women are creating businesses that are really going to change the world.
Yeah.
Women, they understand the interconnection between, I think, people and planet, and we just intuitively get it, and we want to go and build better businesses that are going to change things. And the one thing that women often lack, though, can be confidence and being willing to just do things that scare them. And I'd say now is the time. Like, you don't have a choice. Just lean into it. Go pursue that thing you've always wanted to do, and just become comfortable being uncomfortable, because no one else is going to change it. Like, step up. It's your time.
I love that so much, because you're right. We as women are quite intuitive and really in tune, and we do have these deep desires to create impact and change. And so what we tend to lack, though, like you shared, is the confidence piece that men, you know, usually say, and I'm not in either camp, like you said, but a man will just dominate and go for whatever it is, but lack that intuitive sort of impactful, soulful kind of part to them. Not always, but a lot of the time. And so I think you're right there. It is a woman's time now to really go and make some change.
Yeah, I love that.
And Sean, what about you? Have you got anything else to leave us with today?
Oh, I feel like I need some like inspiring comment with everything going
just
on.
Just have fun.
Yeah, just have fun. I think at the moment, like continuing on with what Amy said, is let's just all continue to, no matter what we're doing, like find that hope and support each other.
Mm.
That's something we've been thinking through Pleasant State as well. This is a time for hope. This is not a time to hold back. Like, if you have a dream, go for it. Let's support each other going for their dreams. Have fun, I guess.
Yes, I love that. The fun part's so important. It's the one thing we forget the most. So where can people purchase your products or hang out with you guys or connect with you?
Well, we are all over socials. We're on Instagram, Facebook, and now Pinterest and TikTok. We've been trying that. In terms of going up, TikTok is so fast.
Oh my goodness, exciting.
Yeah, it is a lot of fun actually. But yeah, so we're just Pleasant State on all those channels. You can also find our online store at pleasantstate.com. Or you can always, send us an email too and have a chat. All those details are on the website too. But we're always up for a chat. We have a bunch of amazing customers. I feel like we're always having amazing conversations with. So don't be shy and reach out.
That's awesome. Well, I've loved having you on the show, and I think you are both doing such incredible things, and it sounds like the combination of both of you together are going to create massive change and impact. So I'm very excited to be part of your journey and watching it unfold. So thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate it. It's been fun.
Yeah, thank you, Rebecca.
And that's a wrap. This week's episode was a good one. I really hope that you enjoyed this week's guest, Sean and Amy, and that you do go over, check out their planet-changing products. I have all three of their bottles, and I must say, you guys know I love branding, and these ladies have definitely nailed it when it comes to how they look and how they work. They really are game changers, and I do hope you love them as much as I do. Please join me over on Instagram. As usual, I love connecting in the DMs. You can reach me and connect with me at I Am Rebecca Neal or Rebecca Neal the Podcast. Don't forget to tag me in your stories if you've loved this episode and share with anyone else that you know who also love it. It really is amazing when you are doing these podcasts each week to see who is actually tuning in. So I do love every single time I get tagged. Until next time, I'm Rebecca Neal, your host. Keep yourself in a positive state and keep moving forward.